morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
Welcome to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. This week, I'll be interviewing Living in Tune guest Billy Thompson, PhD, and Billy has provided listening programs to create life change to over 6,000 families and has worked with over 2,000 autistic children, often with extraordinary results. Billy trained with the pioneer and genius Dr. Alfred Tomatis, who we'll talk about in a little while. Today we'll be looking at the power of our ears, the difference between listening with our right ear and our left ear. What happens when we hear low-frequency sounds as against high-frequency sounds? How listening to particular frequencies impacts our behavior, our health, and our relationships? As Billy and I will have a lot of interesting things to talk about that directly affect each one of us, there won't be time for me to do a live resonance repatterning session today, as I've done in past shows. But for those of you who are new to resonance repatterning, I'd like to just give you a little introduction. The resonance repatterning system helps you discover the unconscious cause of any problem you may have, a reason that always relates to our frequencies, ordered or chaotic, the frequency wave bands that we resonate with. As we shift what we resonate with, we notice transformations in how we feel, in our health, our relationships, career, or how we handle our challenges. Resonance repatterning uses sound, color, movement, breath, acupuncture, contacts, and other energy contacts to create this shift in resonance. What Billy will be sharing with us today will take us deeper into the world of sound frequencies and their power to heal us. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Billy, who works directly with sound frequencies as a modality, to learn from her and also as a resource for friends, family, and clients who may at some time need Billy Thompson's expertise. For those of you who want to contact Billy for more personal work or training, you can email her at soundlisten@soundlistening.com. Her website is billie.thompson@soundlistening.com. And you're also welcome to download a transcript of this show and, of course, any archive show that interests you. Now, let's look at our theme for this week. The secret of our ears. And Billy, do we have you there?
You do. I'm
wonderful.
Here.
Good. I hope you're loud and clear here. Well, Billy, I'm so happy to have you on the show today. I think you've got a lot to share with us. And I think as many people perhaps haven't even heard about Dr. Alfred Tomatis, who's been called a pioneer and a genius. Can you perhaps start by just sharing something about Dr. Alfred Tomatis and how you came to study his work?
Thank you, Chloe. It's very much fun and a pleasure to be with you today. I was fortunate to ask a question after I finished my doctoral research at Arizona State University long ago, 30 years ago. And the question was, because my doctorate was in education, my PhD is in education, I wanted to find a way to assist people to make the changes they wanted to make, and it's really transformation, without the standard kind of way of coping with the problems that we find so often in schools, where the teachers are working very hard to develop, you know, ways to reach children. And at the very bottom line, they have the intelligence, and they just don't have the processing capability, and they're auditory, vestibular, listening functions have not been developed for whatever reason, or they have lost it because of some kind of illness or accident, some kind of trauma. And so we don't think about education being anything other than, you know, let's learn this information, let's practice and develop abilities. We don't really talk about processing first. So I think that's what Tomatis has done. He's a doctor. He was a doctor in France. He died in 2001. For 50 years, he researched the ear, which was his profession as an ear, nose, throat specialist. But he started working with some professional singers that came to him who were referred by his father, a very famous opera singer. And the problem with the singers was that they're not able to produce the sounds they once had. They couldn't create or, be able to sing the frequencies usually in the higher ranges that they once had. And this is badly affecting their paychecks. It was affecting, a lot of ways it was preventing them from really doing their work. So when he tried the things he had been taught as a medical doctor to put squirt some oil in the larynx, which didn't seem to help, and then since the larynx obviously must be the problem, source of the problem, since, you know, it has to do with the voice, the next thing he could do was give him a little prescription for strychnine to loosen the vocal cords, which also didn't seem to help, and thankfully only a few people really had some kind of a reaction to that. He then was stumped, and since he had brought over an audiometer to Europe as a contractor for the French government to test the hearing of factory workers who had been in ammunition factories and had lost their hearing, he was supposed to find out how bad it was and so forth. Since he had this audiometer and he had no other idea what to do with these singers who weren't responding to the treatment he'd been taught, he decided to give them a hearing test. And when he did, he made an observation. He says, gee, these hearing tests look very much like the factory workers that I've been testing who've lost, you know, some of their hearing, usually in the higher ranges. And he says, come to think of it, their voices sound kind of similar. Maybe there's a relationship between the ear and the voice. And this started a lifelong pursuit of developing what's been called probably sound listening training. He developed the Tomatis method to work with a piece of equipment called the electronic ear that he developed over about 40 years, adding different features as technology was available to do the things that he wanted to do with the singers, to finally create a very sophisticated kind of program that starts with an assessment of listening, the listening test, and some other things, and then has the person simply have to just keep these headphones on with bone and ear conduction to listen to the sounds that have been programmed for them to retrain their ears and their brains and their voices.
Mm.
It was very successful with that, and also discovered that the singers had been creating their own deafness by singing loudly rather than developing ways to provide overtones with their voice to reach those far corners of the auditorium. You know, we didn't have all these major speaker systems back, you know, 60 years ago. So he began to teach singers how to work with their voices to get this rich resonance. And this was happening because he was retraining their ears. If it wasn't a hearing loss, but it was really just that they weren't using well what they had, then he was successful.
Mm-hmm.
And this ended up becoming not just one application program. It ended up having many applications because some of these singers had children who had problems with school, such as reading or, you know, sports or things like that. And these singers were noticing that not only were their voices improving, but they were also their reading, their handwriting, their interaction with other people that they now could, you know, follow very easily. There were a lot of things changing in their lives, which, you know, it's kind of interesting. It wasn't his primary focus at the time, but it became that when people started coming to be able to do the program because the other people were having success that had done it for their children as well as for themselves.
Mm, fascinating.
So this is the whole history of how this evolved. And then in the 80s, Tomatis started training more people. It's about the time I entered and went to France. I first went to Toronto to do some training with the center there, was working with North America. And then I went to France. I wanted to train directly with him. And eventually I was able to translate, edit two books into English that were of the 15 books that he wrote to start to get people in this country aware of what he was doing. The conscious ear and the ear and language have been very helpful in introducing his work to people in the United
That's
States.
Amazing. So, Billy, it's so amazing because what he says then is you can only sing or speak the frequencies you can hear. And he talks about low frequencies and high frequencies. So tell us the difference then between these low and high frequencies and the effect they have on us.
Well, there's a whole range of frequencies that the human ear can hear if it's in good working order. These low frequencies he links to the body. You know, if you're listening to drums, for example, which are boom, 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 those low sounds, you feel like moving. You just want to get up and have your body moving around. And if you hear the high ones, very high, If you listen to those high sounds for quite a while, you'll get more energy if you can pick those sounds up. And if you're not too overloaded with having only the high sounds, what I've come to appreciate is it's not just, you know, at one frequency or another that you're working with. You're working with creating balance for the person by how we're providing training in these programs. And the lows and the highs both have a purpose in the mid-ranges where mostly languages are. Every one of those areas of sound has some purpose in being able to be picked up in the human range.
Yes.
And so our goal really when I'm doing an assessment is to determine where there are any areas that might not be picked up easily. If there are problems with telling differences between sounds, which is the whole seed of being able to learn, you have to be able to distinguish differences of anything before you can learn. And then to be able to focus on what's coming in from the outside, from teachers, from other sources, and not always being tuned into your own voice internally. There's a number of things that we're looking at, and also controlling with the right ear, which is the most direct, provides the most direct route of information to the speech centers on the left side of the brain. So I'm looking at those things in assessment and then creating a program that will help people retrain. And for the last 4 years, I have been working with a software program that we've developed called Enlisten, which allows us to bring this into the home, allows us to take it very easily and individualize in every case for people so that they have all the capabilities of what Tomatis was doing since his patents have expired,
yeah.
And now also some additional ones that we've been able to bring forward that seem to be adding, you know, some value to what he did.
Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit more about the frequencies. So the low frequencies seem to relate to the body and to movement.
Yes.
Now, the middle range, you say, is associated with language. And then singing, for instance, then that would that be in the mid-range or higher frequencies?
Depends on what kind of singer you are. I mean, you know, if you listen to singers and you listen to a choir, you'll have a range of voices.
Yes.
So the people who have the widest range have, you know, some of the best opportunities for performance, soloing and so forth, and they have a, you know, a different way of being received by people, too.
Yes. Good. Well, Bobby, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk more about these different ranges of frequencies and health and relationship.
Yep.
Be back in a moment.
It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take. Learn to fly.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to resonancerepatterning.com. www.chloewordsworth.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning Seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. The rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Your life energy forms vibrating patterns you resonate with that affect the quality of your life. Chloe shares extraordinary ways for creating positive change by balancing your energy field with resonance repatterning. Now, back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Learn to fly.
Here we are again, and I'm talking with Billy Thompson, who has this wonderful program, and listen, for really opening up our ears and gaining a balance in terms of the range of sounds that are in our voice and that we can hear. And I want to ask Billy right now, so we talked about this low, middle, and high range of frequencies, and what's the effect then on relationship in terms of if you have the same range of frequencies as someone else, will that help you to be in more harmony with that person? Can you talk about that, Billy?
Sure. We know that, for example, with different languages, there are different ranges of frequencies and rhythms, the way that the language sounds and is produced, so that people who have different languages don't always understand each other because they don't even tune into the same ranges. The same thing can happen in relationships in families and between children and teachers, in a boss and an employee. There are many ways that people can be not tuned in to the voice of the other because of the way that their own ears are tuned in. The way to improve relationships, whether it's between people in countries or people living in the same family or in the same school, is to get them to have the broadest possible way of processing information, more like an ideal listening ability, an ideal listening curve, as Tamadas developed this concept. And this is one where you're able to tune in gradually much more easily. As each frequency goes up into a higher range, you can pick it up more easily. That allows the low ones to be heard as well as the high ones, and for you to select, you know, the areas that you are receiving, and also to have your voice be so much fuller that your voice will produce the sounds that you are being able to pick up. Your voice then will have more frequencies in it that another person could pick up, whether they have as much as you do or not.
Mm. And do most people have mostly lower frequencies in their voice?
Well, they should have a range. They should have the lower and the mid-range and the higher, but it's the relationship of how easily they pick them up, what volume is necessary in order to pick up each range that has an impact on them. So, for example, if you hear the low frequencies much more easier than the high ones, then you probably are not going to pick up those high ones because the low waveform is so much bigger, it will override those higher ones. So you want to be able to pick up the higher frequencies more easily in terms of the volume that you pick them up at. And also you want to pick up the low ones because they give you a good stability. They create a good balance for you.
Mm. And you say volume, it's not actually the loudness of the voice.
Yes, it's the loudness of the incoming frequency that you're picking up. So, but the difference here is like with the singers, to distinguish between having a loud voice that you will carry for a distance versus a resonant voice where these overtones are carrying the distance rather than the loudness. It's much easier.
The resonance carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk more about that.
Well, if you have the overtones being created from a person, it means that you're having a much wider frequency band that's being projected from you as through your voice, which means it's going to go a lot farther than if it's just a small little range.
So when you hear people then whose voices are rather flat, it means that they're not, they don't have that resonance, that those overtones in their voice.
That's correct, and it has to do with how they pick up the sounds themselves. And also, when we're training people to improve their ears, we're also training them to improve their voices. And by holding, for example, holding their mouth in a certain way so that there's a lot of resonation that can occur in that, in the mouth. If you have a mouth that's real tight, if I make my lips not very open and I'm just talking like this, it's very different than if I'm forming the words very clearly with my lips forward, allowing the resonation to occur. So if you're interested in listening to someone who's talking and you're getting a lot of energy, plus the content may be interesting, it's because they have a good resonation in their voice.
Yes. So for instance, I remember, maybe you can tell the story of when Dr. Tomatis had two monks talking with each other. You remember that story?
Oh, and they were talking in...
Well, he gave them a very thorny theological issue, and then he put them on the same frequency band.
Yeah. Well, there's this is almost like having people in different countries, the United Nations, too, that if you are listening in the same range and you're focusing in the same way, you come into resonance. Your voices, your bodies. So you can actually tune into each other. It can actually make a huge difference in not just theological issues, but political issues, moral issues, educational issues, every kind of issue you can imagine is to have yourself be in resonation with the person. You come into understanding there's not a right or wrong or black or white. You come into understanding there's different aspects to look at, but it's a range. It's a band. It's not... Writer, it's not one or the other. It's a whole range of gray between the white and the black.
Yes, because I remember he had them in that range, and they would had this thorny issue, but they were completely harmonious.
Yeah.
Whereas when he took out higher frequencies, then they began to quarrel, even though they at that point they were only talking about the weather.
Right. And the higher frequencies, actually, he also links this to having much more consciousness, more having more connection with everything, with God, with spirit, with however you want to talk about it. You have to have the energy and be able to receive and to send information this way.
And is it that is so the consciousness then is by having those higher frequencies?
A lot of it is linked with that, yes.
Fascinating.
Although you have to be remembering when the work that I've had with a lot of the children who have major issues, they're not able to handle this, and if you try to put them on it, it will not work with them. You have to be, like I said, it has to do with balance, and before you can move into the higher ranges very easily, you must have a connection with your body. You must be able to listen to your body before you can, you know, speak with others and expand into these other ranges of sound.
So basically you're talking about connection to your body through the lower range of frequencies.
Yes. Sometimes we're working with children, for example, maybe we have a 7-year-old who's not potty trained yet, and we can work with them to get them literally within a month or two, they're done. They have that connection. It's a big issue for people who are dealing with this in their families. On another level, there's a person who is an adult who's been maybe doing yoga for years and years, has been working very diligently to reach a certain place. And when they can listen to their body, it all starts to move into place. They get that connection, then all the other stuff, all the other areas start to open up as well.
Amazing. So, yes, so that balance then is absolutely essential.
Yeah, the balance, the order in which they are able to put it all together.
Yes.
You have to have that base, the grounding, the foundation of listening with your body in order to move all the way through to the top. It's like having a building that doesn't have a foundation. It's not going to go very high.
Yeah. And what happens about people who are deaf?
Well, the brain gets about 85% of all its stimulation from the ear, and there's two ways that the ear is analyzing movement. That's what it does. It does one thing. It analyzes movement, does it in two ways. One way is to analyze the movement of the body, the muscles of the body, which are working toward keeping us upright and moving in three-dimensional space, and that's the vestibular system. And then we have the cochlea, maybe the saccule also, that is analyzing frequencies of a sound in order to turn them into language or music or noise, whatever, however we want to perceive that. But those two ways are stimulating about 85% of the brain. The half of the brain is getting about, half the brain is getting vestibular system stimulation directly, and 35% is getting it from the cochlea and the saccule.
Sorry, what was percentage for the cochlea?
The cochlea and saccule are doing about 35%.
35.
And the interesting thing is that of the little hair cells in the cochlea, 80% of them are responding to the individual frequencies greater than 3,000 hertz, which is where the overtones are in English. And what that means is if you don't have those overtones, you're not picking up those sounds above there, you're not getting about 25% of all the stimulation to your brain, because it's 80% of that 35%.
Mm.
So it's very important to be able to get stimulation. I one time had a lady come from another state, was a writer, lived in a rural area, and was not listening to music, was not communicating with people, interacting, just didn't have any kind of input, and she was gradually losing her hearing. Her audiologist told her that she needed to retrain her system and sent her out to Phoenix. So I worked with her, and it was really interesting to find that if you don't use your listening, it's like a lot of other things, your muscles, you have to actually use them in order to maintain them. So she was able to regain her ability to listen, and we put her on a program where she was reading out loud and listening to music, particularly Mozart, at least some of the time, so that we could, she could continue to maintain the gains that she had achieved.
Mm. Mm. Amazing. So now, in terms of movement, we live in a society where people are moving, many, many people are moving less and less, and especially as people get old, they don't move very much.
Yep.
So that must be affecting then 50% of the brain's stimulation.
Right. Right. So if you're a senior and you are pretty sedentary, you're not moving at all, you want to maybe rethink how you can begin to even just walk or do some games that involve your moving around, do the aqua sports. Some way to maintain yourself moving physically, as well as listening to Mozart or something like that while you're doing other things.
Yes. So people who are deaf, their stimulation, the kind of recharging of the brain, depends almost totally then on movement.
Yes, it does.
Huh. We'll come back and talk more about this after this break. Thank you, Billy.
Yes.
If you have never tried your best before, then why do you think that it's so hard?
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
What can you tell me about Skills USA?
Skills USA teaches you employability skills. So you know how to deal with people, you have teamwork, your resume is going to look awesome.
Well, it's important to know your technical skills, but not only that, to have soft skills, the skills of learning how to communicate with people.
On the web at skillsusa.org.
Learn to fly, you are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Are you ready to crash through illusions, break through your personal barriers, and slay the internal nemesis of your dark side? TNT is here to awaken your soul and unravel the hidden messages of your unconscious mind. Discover your hidden treasure map and use TNT to find the tools you need to become your own demolition tech. Collapse the old and choose the new. It's Dynamite Awareness with TNT. Tracy Irons and Tracy McMahon, every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and visit us at www.dynamiteawareness.com.
Listening on a higher dimension. 7th Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Your life energy forms vibrating patterns you resonate with that affect the quality of your life. Chloe shares extraordinary ways for creating positive change by balancing your energy field with resonance repatterning. Now, back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Learn to fly.
Well, we are discovering here with Billy Thompson how hearing recharges our brain. And Billy, you were saying then that 85% of the brain stimulation comes through the ear analyzing movement, 50% of that, and 35% through the cochlea, which analyzes frequencies of sound.
But there's two kinds of movement. It's all movement. That's what the ear does. The sound waves are movement, and the muscles provide movement. So it's just two different kinds of movement. The ear is one system and analyzes movement.
Amazing. So this is actually very exciting because what you're doing fits so perfectly with resonance repatterning,
yes,
which is all about movement, sound waves, color waves, the movement of energy. So it all fits so well together.
Yes.
So basically then in terms of movement, people who are sedentary then, they are, would you say then they're going to tend to be tired or?
Well, if they don't create energy stimulation to their brain, which is what they must do every day, they won't have as much energy to stay awake and stay focused. As people get older and they sleep more, and they, I mean that's what they're doing. It kind of is one of those self-perpetuating things. You sleep more because you're tired, and because you're sleeping more, you get more tired. So
yes.
You just have to know what's going on, and I don't think we educate people about that very much. Most people don't know that.
Yes.
The other area that we don't educate people in is the young children in particular, is about listening to normal ranges versus loud ranges. It really bothers me when I am maybe driving down the street in my car and a car comes up which is producing sound that is so loud, out in the street, it's actually creating bleeding in the ears of the person who's driving because it's too loud. It's above 110, 120 decibels. So, you know, hearing is one aspect, which means you can actually receive sound. And then listening is how you attend to it, you organize it, you use it. It's a much broader thing. It includes hearing, but listening is much broader than hearing.
Yes. So now we've got, you say, the harmonics. A resonant voice has harmonics above 3,000 hertz. And hertz is about, 3,000 cycles per second, isn't it?
Right.
So certain languages then, so I always remember that learning French is between, 2,000 and 3,000 cycles per second or
French is 1,000 to 2,000. The British that are across the channel, they don't communicate this very well, is very high from 2,000 to 12,000. So that's a little bit of an interesting experience.
So the English-speaking voice has a very big range then of frequency?
Well, 2 to 12, but the French is 1 to 2. They don't even overlap. They just really don't tune into each other. We know historically they've had a hard time with that. And we don't, we have an overlap with American English. It's about 750 to 3,000 hertz. Certainly the overtones are going up above 3,000, but they're, the way that they work with language in Britain is very high. It's very high. It's very different than what we do.
Yes, well, I can relate to that because when I first came to America, I thought I was listening to people speaking a foreign language. It was like, what language are they speaking?
It is a foreign language. It absolutely is. They may have the same vocabulary, but it is a different rhythm, a different frequency range. You're absolutely correct.
Yes. And then, of course, you can have that in couples were also speaking a different language. They're in a completely different range.
Exactly, and it's very interesting. In Europe, when I was turning West to my last, we'd see a family. The father would speak one language, the mother would speak another, the child would get a different language in school, and they would have a nanny that spoke something completely different. So you get four languages this child is learning. You know, they have to adapt, and they have to learn all of them. And then about age 11, it will all get integrated in their brain. It doesn't happen immediately, but once that happens, they can literally think as well as speak, as well as, you know, feel comfortable in the cultures in which these languages are dominant.
Yes. I was going to ask you a question on language, but I've forgotten what it is. But in terms then if you want to learn a language, you've got to be in the same frequency range as that language.
You know, the rhythm also. You have to know the vocabulary, but in terms of teaching people another language, we would have them listening to a native speaker. It always must be a native speaker who's speaking, reading a story, or whatever it is you're wanting to learn. And having yourself listen to that in many different ranges of sound, many different frequencies of sound, as if you were getting it even when before you were born in the womb. Tomas did a lot of work with the fetal listening, and he was an early person to say that the fetus is listening in the womb at least 4.5 months in the womb when the ear is fully formed. It is the only sensory system that's fully formed. And his work and others now, too, and there's some documentation on my website in one of the articles that's there about this kind of research with the fetal listening. We know that the fetus listens to some of the higher sounds, not just the lower sounds. And in fact, what we do with our ears with hearing is we tune out sounds that are repetitious, like blood flowing or like the oxygen coming in and out of the lungs. The fetus has to learn to do this, as well as tune in to the sound of the mother's voice, where it's starting to get the pathways established in the brain for the language that is the native language of this fetus. There's a lot of things happening with this fetus related to the ear, and everything that's happening at around age 1 to 2 has to do with what the ear is doing to help us become much more human. And the thing that's also interesting is, for example, between 1 and 2, the child starts to stand upright. At least by this time, they are able to start to move bilaterally with walking, and their language starts to come into play. Mm-hmm. And the ear plays the major role and function in having all of these things, which define us as you know, being human, has to do.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference then between right ear listening and left ear listening?
Well, right ear listening is the most direct route to the speech center, speech centers in the left side of the brain, Broca and Wernicke's areas. And if you are controlling your voice with the right ear, you have the fastest, most direct route to your brain to give the information to yourself. If you go through the left ear for whatever reason, because you want to slow it down, you can deliberately slow down information. You know, if you go through your left ear, let's say somebody tells you something you don't want to listen to, you can psychologically move over to your left ear. I've seen it many, many times. And then it can become your dominant ear if you really want to not be somewhere or be listening to something. So it goes over then from the left ear to the right side of the brain, back across the corpus callosum to these speech centers, and it slows it down quite a bit. So you have a processing difficulty that can affect your speech, it can affect your reading. There's a lot of things that are impacted when you slow things down.
And that could also then affect stuttering as well?
Yes, there's a lot of things that can affect stuttering, but timing delays are certainly part of it, how fast you're processing.
So generally speaking then, would you say it's an advantage for us to be aware of listening with our right ear?
Yeah, we can put ourselves in situations where, for example, if you're reading a book to a child, put the child's right ear to your voice. Mm-hmm. Give them this advantage and develop more of the right ear. You know, if you want to have an advantage yourself, so your right ear is at the conference table. listening to the person who's speaking gives you an advantage, maybe them a little disadvantage, but certainly give yourself the advantage if you can.
That's interesting in terms of practitioners. Often in resonance repatterning, we always sit on the left side of the client, which means our right ear is towards the client so that we can really hear them.
Yes.
So that's kind of fascinating. I hadn't actually thought of it from that point
of
view.
It is. You need to give them somehow. So maybe if you're facing them or something, you can direct your voice more.
Yes. So now, Billy, then, what's the effect of trauma on the frequency range that we hear and speak?
Well, it depends. If you're talking about a trauma that's too loud, it can cut out the hair cells that receive the sound in that range. I mean, and then you don't pick them up anymore. You can have a trauma of emotional trauma, not wanting to listen to someone, and you basically take a range of sound that is going to is basically going to impact, you know, how you listen, for example, to male or female voices, because males might be in a lower range and females might be in a higher range, and then there's some psychological ranges that would show up as well in terms of general things having to do with male, female.
So basically then there would be a tendency to cut out the range associated with the trauma.
Yeah, and the thing is you don't just cut out that one person's voice, you cut out all kinds of things related to that range. You can't select the voice. You're basically having to select the range of frequency.
Yes.
And so it has a bigger impact than you might think.
Yes.
And that's where your work also is very important, coming in here with being able to open up to these different ranges.
Yes. Yeah. Fascinating. And what about illness then and symptoms that people have? Do you see those changing as you work with people?
Well, because the ear is involved in every type of ability that we have, I've just come to appreciate how much we're doing, analyzing movement in every way, whether it's through language, through sports or fitness, through music, through spatial organization with the link of the ear to the eye, through thinking, the cognitive thinking. You have to be able to bring information together, organize it, the sequencing of it has to do with this analysis. We're just having a lot of areas of life that either improve or can be hurt if we're not working well with our ears.
Yes. Yes, good. Well, we'll be back in a minute.
It's not about getting to one point. It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take. Learn to fly. You are.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to resonancerepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to resonancerepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
You
you ever feel that you would love to have your very own all-knowing guide on tap 24/7? Well, you can. It's called your intuition. Learn how to trust your inner voice. Come and explore with Natasha Rosewood the power of your intuition and how you can use it now to bring more success and joy to your world. Join Natasha on her radio show, I Think I'm Psychic. And you can be too. Every Tuesday live at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network. Anything is possible.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. The rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Your life energy forms vibrating patterns you resonate with that affect the quality of your life. Chloe shares extraordinary ways for creating positive change by balancing your energy field with resonance repatterning. Now, back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Here we are talking with Billy Thompson and on this fascinating subject of the ears. Learning a lot here. And Billy, you were saying that every ability we have is associated with the ear, whether it's through movement, sports, hearing sounds, hearing different frequencies, learning languages, and our awareness in space. You're also mentioning the ear and the eye.
Yeah, there's a connection between the three major integrators, that Tomatis calls them, the vestibular, cochlear, and visual systems. And the muscles of the eye certainly have a link with the ear, the part of the vestibular processing. And the way that we use vision to move ourselves through three-dimensional space requires a good integration. Sometimes I have teenagers who are a little older who don't want to drive. And after they finish with the program, in a couple months, they want to drive because now they're no longer feeling unsafe, you know, because they can't actually tell distances when they're driving, so they don't want to do it, but they can't tell you that. They don't really know that. But as soon as they get this perception, this three-dimensional perception in, they're really eager to drive. They want to get out and...
So you're saying then that our awareness in space is associated with the ears?
Yes, absolutely.
It's incredible,
totally.
And we always think of that as the eyes.
Well, you know, you've got some part of it there, but how you're working with the muscles and of the ears, of the eyes, and with the ears is also a part of it. I mean, sometimes you're not able to adjust well.
Yeah.
There are other things to do with the eyes that they're not associated with the ears, but this movement in three-dimensional space, actually, you can move in three-dimensional space without your eyes as long as your ears are working well. There was this thing called vestibular syphilis back in Columbus, 1492, and if people had it, all they could do was lie on the ground. That was it. Their life was over. They couldn't move anywhere. They had no sense about where they were, what they were doing.
Mm.
So if you have to give up a sense, do not give up your vestibular sense. Give up your hearing, give up your eyes, but do not give up your vestibular sense. You can still read Braille if you've got, vestibular sense.
Yes. So then, Bobby, what about the effect of the ears on behavior?
Well, you know, if you're able to have confidence in what you're doing, whatever it is, you'll be out, you'll be expressing yourself, you'll be wanting to learn more. If you have no confidence because you're not able to do what you see other people doing, which is the case with a lot of children, as they reach age 5, 6 and older, they start to develop a withdrawal in a way because they can't do the things that people are asking them to do, their parents or their teachers. With adults, the same thing can happen as they get older. If they tend to lose some of their hearing for whatever reason, they've been in a loud situation or if something else is causing it, I think one of the things that Tomatis was able to show on a television show in France a number of years ago was an interview with a very well-known television person who had lost some of his hearing, and he had finally, after withdrawing from all the social scenes he was in, went to the Tomato Center and he started doing the program. Well, this helped, but 5 years later, we're talking a long time because you have to continue to work with this. This is not something that happens overnight, 2 minutes, 2 weeks, 2 months sometimes. 5 years later, he's walking down the street, and he hears this chirp, chirp, chirp. And he says, what is that? I don't know that sound. It was the birds. He hadn't heard them for 5 years. And after re-stimulating, reworking with his listening over many years, sometimes during that time period, getting the stimulation, moving it to the next level, he was able to actually hear things he hadn't heard before. So, I mean, we don't know. The truth is we don't know all the answers about what our ears do, and for that matter, we're learning about a lot of other areas of our bodies.
Yes.
Expanding on that knowledge. But certainly the ear needs to be considered as a major player in what we're doing, and to take care of it and to develop the capabilities.
And have you noticed changes, for instance, in addictions or anything like that?
Well, addictions have a physical, you know, ramification, and that's a craving. People kind of have to work with removing themselves from that, and then we can help them with, you know, having a different focus. But there's a physiological thing. They have to work with that. Demonis would say they would have to work with that. I've worked with a few people, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And mostly they've already gotten the addiction cleared up.
And what about illness? Do you find that illnesses have a particular wave band of frequencies?
Well, you know, every organ of the body has a different range. So if you're working with an illness of a particular kind in your body, there will be something that's out of tune with that particular range. So if there's ways, if some people are doing specific fine-tuning of presenting those sounds that are missing, I'm doing that. I'm a much more broad approach, more holistic, to make everything more come into balance than just saying, here, we're just going to work this one thing. I find if we're providing stimulation in the area that's not strong, and at the same time continuing to stimulate the rest of the system, it helps it to come more into balance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a physiological thing. It's a training. It's an educational program. That's how we've been working with this for many, many years in this country. And the rest is to then work with the thinking that you have and repatterning the rest of the information that has gotten you into this situation.
Yeah.
And your work is very, you know, very good. And I think that there's a good combination here.
That's right. And it sounds then that the body is set in motion by the voice.
Yes. Yes, the cry of the baby when they're first coming out is their first, you know, is their first listening, really.
That really then the sounds, the frequencies in the voice actually create movement.
Yeah, and the baby actually coming out of the womb only listens through bone conduction. There's no air in the womb. So it takes them several weeks for the fluid to really fully come out of the ears and start to adjust to hearing, both with air and bone conduction. And we're working with air and bone conduction with delays in the processing, which is how you actually listen faster through bone, a denser material, than through air. Tomatis had this as one of the patents. His patents have expired, so we're working with this as well as he was doing this. And it's something that I think can help accelerate the rate at which changes can occur.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, unfortunately, our time has come to an end. This has been really interesting. And what I'm hearing then that we can do in a very practical way then is reading aloud is very important, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
That really listening to ourselves. And Dr. Tomatis would talk about read out loud for 30 minutes a day and listen to yourself as you speak, particularly Mozart, high-frequency sounds, violin concertos, but again, as Billy is talking about, listen to the full range. So moving with drums or movement with any music, I imagine, would be fantastic, wouldn't it, Billy?
Yeah, the thing is that if you have had a problem or difficulty for a long time, it will take several years to work with these types of strategies. If you want to accelerate 10 times faster, then you come work with
us. Then your program is really what will help.
Well, it will help a lot, and then I think
Wonderful.
The program does too. So.
Good. So remember then that you can email Bobby. I don't want to call you Bobby.
Billy.
I've got a friend called Bobby. You can email Billy at soundlisten@soundlistening.com, and her website is billy.thompson@soundlistening.com, and her phone number is 602-381. 1-800-273-0086. And if you have any questions for me, remember you can email me at livingintune@gmail.com. Any issue you want me to discuss or somebody to interview, questions you want me to ask. Remember, you can download all the transcripts of any of the shows, Billy's as well as past ones. And next week, October the 8th, same time, same place, we have a fantastic talk, Feng Shui and Resonance Repatterning. The state of our frequencies show up everywhere, in our thoughts, feelings, weight, our health, disease, and also in our home. And so we're going to be discussing with Sandy Sue Rector, Feng Shui expert and Resonance Repatterning certified practitioner, how you can change your life and your frequencies by changing your home in simple yet dramatic ways. Consciously use the health, abundance, career, and relationship areas of your home to improve your frequencies and your life. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful week listening to all the full range of frequencies and feeling on top of the world. And remember, keep moving. That's one of the secrets, isn't it? Thank you again, Billy, for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
In between, no, you can do anything if you just believe.
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Today I saw the sun up in the sky. Tomorrow I'll touch a star. If you have never tried your best before.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
What can you tell me about SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA teaches you employability skills. So you know how to deal with people, you have teamwork, your resume is going to look awesome.
Well, it's important to know your technical skills, but not only that, to have soft skills, the skills of learning how to communicate with people.
On the web at SkillsUSA.org.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her.
Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to crash through illusions, break through your personal barriers, and slay the internal nemesis of your dark side? TNT is here to awaken your soul and unravel the hidden messages of your unconscious mind. Discover your hidden treasure map and use TNT to find the tools you need to become your own demolition tech.
Collapse the old and choose the new.
It's Dynamite Awareness with TNT. Tracy Irons and Tracy McMahon every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network and visit us at www.dynamiteawareness.com.